George.
Good morning, Mr. President.
I called you last night, and they told me you were out on the town.
No, I was to the Newspaper Guild dinner.
George, I had a long meeting last night with my advisors yesterday and the day before, and again last night, and then Morse into the evening. And we don't want to take the position. If we can avoid it any way we can, that we ought to have legislation on these strikes. We think that they could get serious enough, that'd be very bad, but we don't think that it's reached that point at this stage. We would like to try to keep collective bargaining going, and we'd like to negotiate. I think you know the attitude.
The negotiations have stopped now for the last 6 days completely.
That's right.
Due to Morse.
Well,
Due to Morse shoot his mouth off. I was in the position of the airlines dealing with the machinists. I wouldn't negotiate either if I thought Morse was going to pull my chestnuts out for me.
Well, now, what we want to do, we want to try to negotiate some settlement that just won't wreck the country and won't give us inflation in the country. What do you see the possibilities are? We've got to decide which way to go, and we don't think that it's going to help labor or anybody down the line if we have a pace setter here that everybody will try to exceed.
Well, I'll tell you,
we know that we've got problems with the guideposts, and we know that what's coming with the electrical workers and what's coming, the telephone workers, and so on and so forth. But Burns' outfit, from what we hear, doesn't seem to be so outrageous. And we just don't think that we can justify a huge settlement here that the others will consider that they might have got to have, that will really bring inflation on us.
Yeah.
And I think I'll just really get burned and be practically helpless to the workers in this country if we don't exercise some judgment here. And I think you're the best one to give me any advice now.
Let me talk to C. Miller again and see if I can talk some sense to him. Up to now, all he keeps saying is, my men are very militant, and I can't do anything with them.
Well, I think that's right. And if he can't, of course we can, but we don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that at all. And what I want, and I don't mind him having some victory, if we can have one that just won't wreck us. But I wish you'd read the memo from all of our economists. Now, Walter Heller just back from London, and he says that thing has really put the pressure on us. And Gardner Ackley is just scared to death. And, let me just give you 1 minute here as background or some of the things that all of our people talk to. I just talked to McNamara. Nearly every man that has some experience in the economy is really shaking the stock market doing what it is, and they think that it's all tied in with our failure to face up to the labor people in this case. Now, I don't want to do like Truman did in the railroad strike. I don't want to do that, but the issues involved in this decision are important enough that I must pose them to you over a long-term context, because that is my obligation to this country. This is not an attempt to persuade you to reverse your thinking, but I think you must understand the other side. Every free industrialized country which tries to maintain employment faces this problem. If you try to maintain full employment, strong unions have the power to push wages up faster than their productivity, and thereby they inflate costs and prices. Then the semi-monopolistic industries have the power to push up prices, even if costs are stable. And no country has ever really solved it. Sooner or later, you've got to meet it. Now may not be the time. If not now, then you've got to meet it next time. I think it's very obvious with our balance payment situation what it is. This nation cannot afford inflation, even if it could be tolerated domestically. We've given careful study to all the polls, and they suggest the people will not tolerate it domestically. They're already very questionable. This either means abandoning your full employment that you fought so hard to get, or finding a way to live with it. Now, you say you do not want to abandon it, so you've got to find a way to deal with it. Now, this is not a problem for the next 6 months or 2 years. It's a problem for the whole decade. The end of the war won't ever solve it. A tax increase won't solve it. It has to be approached head on. Sometime, somewhere, you have to find a way to convince the unions that they cannot continually push wage costs up, and you have to convince business that profit margins cannot continually rise. The airlines case may not be the place you want to begin. All the points that we've made yesterday, every member in your cabinet against drawing the line here and now are correct and relevant. But we can be sure the next case, the one after, will not be a better place to start. This much can be said for starting here and now. If IAM's demands are granted, this would be by far the largest increase for any important union outside the small construction workers. These people are now demanding an increase of 7 to 8% a year for a 3-year period. 5.1% plus 2 to 3% for the cost of living. Reuther got a little over 4 at a time when cost of living escalation didn't mean much to them. Aerospace got about 4 plus escalation, which didn't mean much at the time. New York transit workers got about 5 without any escalation. Western lumber got about 5 without escalation a few months ago. Every other major union outside construction has gotten far less. So it's still true that labor costs in manufacturing have not risen too much. They stood at 99 in June, 99.3 in January, 106 in January, 63. Thus, we would not be locking the barn door if the horse is stolen. But it's going to be stolen if you sit idly by and let IMA go without stopping it. The IMA is not the most popular union in America. It's been in and out of the AFL-CIO. Its irresponsible attitude in this case cannot really be defended, and not even by George Meany. An important segment of the public is aroused. Whether or not the facts justify a national emergency finding, you'll have to decide. It may be hard, though, to have another case which anyone will really care about, especially if you let IAM go through with this one. The high visibility of this case, with all the nation concerned, will increase the leverage we get on the prices from taking a strong stand on wages. Whenever we do face up the problem, we will have to involve a dramatic shock treatment, such as the Morse bill for the airline, plus a really strong, organized, and continuous course of high-level persuasion and leadership toward Meany, Reuther, and others, in which they are in effect, have to join with us to try to make a decision whether we want full employment or a responsible wage policy, and how do we get them, plus a big job of public education on what the problem really is, and try to get all Americans to help us solve it, plus a new drive on prices and profits. Maybe it can't be done. Wilson didn't do it. Or maybe things have to get worse before they get better. But history suggests that once they get worse, the job is going to be much more difficult to save this country. So if you decide this morning not to support the Morse bill, this might be an occasion for you personally to make clear that although you reject legalized strike breaking, you do not condone irresponsible demands. And the state, if you are to rely on free collective bargaining, it must be responsible bargaining. Alternatively, if you to go the Morse bill route, you should make a package asking for suspension of investment credit, thus hitting business, appealing again to business to hold the line on prices and profits. This may be an occasion to seize national attention on economic affairs and to refute the allegation that's being spread around the town these days that IAM is now in charge and no one is really running the government. Now, that I would say is a fair representation of the majority sentiment in the cabinet. I would say that represents, I don't want you to quote them to anybody, and this talk is confidential, but I would say that represents the viewpoint pretty well of Connor, of McNamara, of my counsel, of Califano, of the rest of them, that we don't want to be strikebreakers. We wish that we didn't have all these laws, and they're demanding that we come up and we prove this and prove that. We don't think the facts prove it too much, and we don't want to every time you have a labor dispute, go to Congress for a law. We think it's that way. You just intimidate people. And but it's gone over 20 days now, and it, as a price pace setter, that's where it's dangerous to us. If this fella gets more, then Byrne comes in. He says he's got to get more. Then the electrical workers, they've got to get more. And it kind of goes off. Now, Reuther's settlement got everybody off a little because he got over four. The steel workers did the fine thing. Now, we think what ought to be done for the good of the labor and for the good of the administration, the good of the country, is this board gives them $76 million. We could squeeze something out of that, and we could put an escalation in for the end of the back end there that might actually bring them up to 86 or maybe $90 million or even a few million there, where we could fuzz it up and it looks like he got more than he, where he does actually get, say he got somewhere between 4 and 5, where he got more than the 3.2, but he didn't get enough that it looks like it's gone to hell and ain't no use, you just got to have controls or something. Now that's what we would like to do. Dave Ginsburg is as good and as fair a person as you can deal with. If you could have your man, without getting you in trouble, Lane Kirkland, somebody, talk to Dave Ginsburg, say, now, this, or if you want to, the Undersecretary of Labor, but Ginsburg's on this board. I talked to him last night. He says that he could find a way to edge in a little more than the board offered and make it appealing. We might want to do that rather than anything else. Now, have you got any feeling? Don't you? Doesn't this scare you a little bit too?
Yes, yes, it does. And the thing that bothers me, of course, is the position they put me in is this fellow Moore shooting his mouth off. You see, this is what hurts. You see, when we get into a fellow that's cracking down like Moore, so I got to be with the other people.
Sure,
I can't be with Moore.
I understand. Well, here's what we think a committee could do today. We could meet this morning, go over a statement, and we could say, now this is bad, the public's inconvenienced. We're always inconvenienced with strikes. It's bad on the workers, it's bad on the companies, it's bad on the public. It's been going on 20 days. It's worse this week than it was last week, and it'll be worse next week. But we cannot say to you that the country's coming to an end and everything's going to be bad if we don't find that a great emergency exists. We don't think that a true national emergency exists at this time. It might in a few days, but it doesn't exist now. And say we would like to see collective bargaining work. Then we'd like for the committee to say to us, all right, we are not going to act impetuously here with all these Dirksons and people hollering, even Javits jumping up and down now. You go back down there and make the president try to get in here and negotiate something out. Then try to find some solution before they reported their damn bill. Now that's what I'd like to see done.
All right, let me go to work on this fellow this morning.
Okay, and now we got to go up there about noon, so you let me know anything you can hear.
I'll let you know.